2 years ago. So I think we've grown quite a lot, if we may put it that way. Genesis 1 from verse 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This morning, what I'm going to do is I'm sharing this morning on spoken word, on the power of spoken word. And, you know, in preparing this, because maybe for a lot of us, we've heard teachings like this about the power of the spoken word, the power of the words that's spoken by God, for instance. Maybe for a lot of us, we've heard teachings like that, so we might think this morning, okay, but so I can just sit back and relax or whatever. But, you know, in preparing this, and this, of course, is something I also know about, but in preparing this, God really encouraged me again. And in preparing this, God really stirred my faith again. So I hope this morning that it will do the same for you. Although you know about the power of the spoken word of God, that it will stir your faith and that you'll really be encouraged by this. And there, the three verses, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can you imagine that for a moment? I know there's a lot of movies these days that you can go watch where you see like storybooks and stuff, and when they read the story, then the words come off the paper and the people go into that story. There's a couple of movies like that. And that just, in a sense, make me think about this. This, the words of God becoming reality. If that words come out of his mouth, that words start to shape. And it becomes reality. That words that he speak become something. That's the way he create. It's by speaking things into being. And so we look at this and I ask myself the question, or we can ask ourselves the question, but so is it when God speak, we know that he create, but is it only when God speak that something happens? And I just want to answer that immediately by saying, listen, God is the only creator. He's the only one that creates everything around us by his words, by speaking it into being. But it's possible that what we see around us can be changed. It's possible that creation can be changed or being influenced by spoken word as well. And I want to go through some scriptures to show us why I say this. And the first scripture I want to go to, I want to start off by using the example of Jesus, where we can see Jesus speaking and the effect of that words that it has on creation around him. Mark 4, verse 36 to 39. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Another scripture I want to read is Matthew 21, verse 19. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, May no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree with it at once. Think about it. The power of spoken words. This is through the mouth of Jesus. So being on a storm, being there on the Sea of Galilee on a boat, wind going, storm going, standing up, telling the wind, be still, be quiet. And in that moment, the wind listened to him and react on that words. Think about this fig tree that we just read about. We see Jesus walking past this fig tree, and I'm sure it was, he knew the seasons. So I'm sure, because when I read it the first time, one or some of the times, I read it and I thought by myself, okay, but what if it wasn't the season for fruit, for figs and that kind of stuff? But I'm sure that it was the right season for figs to be on the tree. And Jesus walking past that tree and seeing that there's no fruit on this tree. And if this tree that's supposed to give fruit, if it doesn't give any fruit, what's the purpose of it? Because a fig tree is supposed to give fruit. It's supposed to give figs. In that moment, he tell that tree to die. In other words, he cursed that tree. And immediately, responding on his words, the tree start to die. Can you picture that? Someone standing in front of a tree telling the tree, you'll never bear fruit again. And in that moment, that nice green leaves, a fig tree got this big green leaves, start to dry out, the color going out of them, they're starting to close up. The power of the spoken word. So here we can clearly see that it's not, although God is the creator, and only God can create, but we can clearly see that with Jesus, we can see his spoken word got the same effect as that of the Father. And that is when he opened up his mouth and when he speak, creation is being influenced by that words. Creation respond to that words. And now I want to take it a step further. I want to go to John 14, verse 11 and 12. This is Jesus speaking, saying, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. So what Jesus is saying here is, I think Jesus, being the Son of God, knew that in all of eternity, our eyes will be focused on him. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus do things? Because we are supposed to follow in that example. So whatever we saw him do, we are supposed to do the same. We are supposed to follow in his footsteps by doing the same things he did. And I think a lot of times we look at Jesus and we say to ourselves, yeah, but he's the Son of God. Yes, he is the Son of God. But so also we are the sons and the daughters of God. And Jesus in his own words saying, listen, there's nothing that I did that you can't do. So in other words, what he's saying is, don't use that thing of he's the Son of God as an excuse. Of saying, okay, but so I'm not supposed to do this. I can't do this. I'm not the Son of God. It's almost like he's telling us, don't use that as an excuse. You can do the same things I did, and even greater things. So if Jesus was able to stand and to talk against the wind and to tell the wind or the storm to be quiet, to be still, if he could declare peace, that word out of his mouth, and creation can respond on that, so can creation respond when me and you talk. But there's also a key in this, in these two verses, and it says there, it starts by saying, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And that's the first key. We need to be in the Father and the Father need to be in us. In other words, we can't just go out in our own strength and think that we are able to conquer this world. No, we need to be in the Father and the Father need to be in us. So what that means when we talk about this, it's a place where we really realize that we're nothing without the Father. It's a place where we seek his will in everything we do. There's another scripture where Jesus said, I'll only do what I see the Father do. And it's because he's in the Father and the Father is in him. And in the same way, the Father can be in us through his Holy Spirit. He can live in us, he can dwell in us. So we need to be in him and he in us. And secondly, it says there, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do these things. It's not saying every human on earth will do the things I did. He's saying, whoever believes in me. So our faith need to be in Jesus. Our faith need to be in his abilities, not our abilities. Without faith, it's impossible to walk as sons of God, conquering the circumstances coming our way. We need faith. So what I want to do is I just want to show you two examples in the Bible of ordinary men opening their mouths and creation responding on that. The first one I'm not going to read, you can read it yourself. It's in James 5 verse 17. And there it's talking about Elijah. And it said that Elijah, a normal man, prayed that the rain should stop. And for 3.5 years, no rain fell. For 3.5 years. That same Elijah then come to a point where he said, let the rain come again. And then it started to rain. But that's the weather, that's the rain responding on the words of Elijah. And I think something we should realize a lot of times if we talk about stuff like this, or we think about stuff like this, we say, okay, so we're talking about prophesying. Yes, we're talking about prophesying. But we're also talking about praying. Because when we pray, what is that? There's no difference. If you pray for someone, if you pray over someone, you pray the words of God over that person. You prophesy the words of God over that person. And creation responds on that word that's being spoken. Another scripture we can read is Joshua 10, verse 12 and 13. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, talking to the sun, saying, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on the enemies. Is this not written in the book of Yashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven, and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. He stopped time. Joshua, in that moment, what he did is he stopped time. Looking at this fight that was going on, this battle that was going on, realizing probably, okay, but soon it's going to be dark. Thinking by himself, no, this finish today. Okay, but the day is not long enough. Well, that's fine. Then we stop the day. It can stay day to finish this today. The sun, the moon, time, responding on the words of man. Think about it. Is this possible? And I know all of us sitting here thinking about this will say, no man, this is like other stuff. This is not possible. These examples. It's possible. It's the power of the spoken word. I think a lot of times, maybe we don't really understand the power of the words we speak. Or I think a lot of times maybe we underestimate the power of the words that we speak. Another scripture I want to read to you. James 3 from verse 4 to 12. It's not on the screen. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set off fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And then just another verse, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. But two verses I want us to notice is James 3, verse 10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And then Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what it tells us if we read these verses, it tells us that we sometimes speak blessing over people. But other times we speak curses over people. And a lot of times over ourselves. And I think we don't necessarily mean to do that. But by what we are saying, certain things happen. Creation respond on the words that we speak. Someone once said, and I can't remember who it was, but it's a thought that really stuck with me. Someone once said, but it's like it's when you speak these words, because the Holy Spirit is in you, because you're a son of God, when you speak these words, it's like it's almost like it's God Himself speaking. And remember, the words of God is all, it's like hanging, it wants to create. So when you speak that word, it's like it hanging in the air, waiting to come to fulfillment. Whether it's a blessing or a curse, we underestimate the power of the spoken word. We don't realize what it means, or the power that it has. And I went to the dictionary to look at what does bless mean and what does curse mean. And this is not the Bible giving us a supernatural meaning. This is a dictionary. May I say, written by the world, if you know what I'm saying. Bless, according to the dictionary. Pronounce words in a religious rite in order to confer or invoke divine favor upon. To evoke divine favor upon. That is what it means to bless. Curse. A solemn utterance intended to invoke a supernatural power to inflict harm or punishment on someone or something. That's a curse. Now, if we talk about blessings and curses, I think all of us in the place where we say, but we don't want to curse people, we want to bless people. But like I said, a lot of times I think we say negative things over ourselves and over people without even realizing it. And that words that we speak is waiting to respond. It's waiting to change creation and circumstances around us. So, if you can think about this in a very practical sense. If you get up the morning out of bed and you think, okay, today is, you're just thinking this. Today is going to be like a really hectic day. I've got so much things I need to do today. So much things I need to get through and I need to sort out. And I'm seeing that person and that. And so you're almost in a place of you're not looking forward to this day. And you speak the words of saying, listen, I'm not going to get through this day. This day is going to get the best of me. Immediately what you do is you speak a curse over yourself. Just like that day, don't have an opportunity to be a blessing for you, because when you opened up your mouth, you cursed that day for yourself. It's like when someone, another example, we look at the weather patterns and we look at the rain season that's coming, and according to all the weather patterns and all the clever people, what they can say about the weather and how they predict it and everything, looking at that, they say, listen, the next season, it's going to be a very bad weather, rain season, for instance. What they do is they curse that rain season even before it began. So what we should rather do is, even looking at all the statistics and everything else, saying, although everything shows different, We're serving a living God. And this will be a good rain season. Because you see, what we do is we declare it and we prophesy it over this season to come. We don't look at the circumstances. We look at the Word of God. And in faith, we act and we respond on that. Something that I'll never forget is there was a season in our lives for 3 years where we worked with people on the streets. And back then, financially, it was going very tough with us. And we had a small, our food cupboard in the kitchen. Was a very small little cupboard. We didn't need anything bigger. So there was never that much food in the house. Because it was really going tough. And in that time, I met with a missionary from Zimbabwe. And we spoke a couple of things, and I can't remember everything. But one of the things he said to me is, but when you look at your circumstances, when you look at what's going on around you, prophesy over that for it to change. Don't wait for it to change and then you start to thank God. Start to prophesy over it beforehand. Speak life over it. Speak things into being. I mean, think about it. Speak things into being. Can you speak things into being? Yes, we can. We saw that in the Word. And when he left, what I did is I actually built myself a big cupboard. So this is my new food cupboard in my house. And you see, but even building that and doing that is faith. It's believing that I'm going to speak this into being. We can't carry on the way things are going on. I mean, the only stuff that's in the fridge is the ice. There's no meat and stuff in the fridge, it's only ice. So what I did is I told my wife, Annemarie, come and stand next to me. And we stand in front of that huge, empty food cupboard. And we start to prophesy over that cupboard. Saying, Lord, we want to thank you for that cans. And I name things that's standing there. But there's nothing there. Lord, we want to thank you for this pasta on this shelf. Lord, we want to thank you for this, for that. From there, we went to the fridge. Lord, thank you for the meat, thank you for the sausage, and we name things that weren't there. And know that the next day, everything wasn't full of food. But we did that daily. Every single day, standing in front of the fridge, standing in front of that cupboard, prophesying over it, speaking words into being. And that was the last season we ever had a lack of food in our house. Because it changed. And within 2 weeks, the small little kitchen cupboard that we had would have been too small for all the food that came in. We had to get another fridge to store meat and stuff that came in. Creation responds to our words. And you see, it's because God created us in His image. So creation subdue itself to us and what we speak without us realizing it. Because too often we accept what is coming our way. We don't stand against our circumstances. We don't stand against what happened. We just receive it. But God created us to subdue creation around us to us by the spoken word. And therefore, I think it's so important for us to realize the power of the spoken word. I want to read another scripture, also not on this, Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. You know, God himself, the breath he's talking about is his breath. But God himself, in that valley, could have spoken, saying to these dry bones to stand up and to live. But he didn't. He chose man. He chose man to speak that words for that bones to stand up. And the funny thing for me is, it's like I get stuck there every time I see it, is where it talks about, where it say that, prophesy to these dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Bones don't have ears, but still they hear, and they respond. So everything out there, when we speak, will hear and will respond to the word of God. But God chose man. He chose us, his sons and daughters, to prophesy and to speak things into being. I want to share a testimony with you that I had on Thursday with the Nisna fires. It's this one family, it's the husband and the wife, and they've got a little girl. And the lady said that they stood in the house, looking out the window, see these fires coming, huge fires coming, hearing things explode in the houses of the neighbors as that fire is coming. And they stood there and they asked themselves the question, should they stay or should they go? And they decided, the husband and wife decided, but let's just go to the bedroom. Let's pray about this. And they pray and they ask God, Lord, what should we do? If you say leave everything, then we leave it. But if you say stay, we stay. And they just felt that God said to them, stay. You'll be safe here. And they, after praying, they talked to each other and they said, okay, but this is what we're going to do. And then they heard the voice of their little daughter, and they realized she's not in the room anymore. She's standing outside on the lawn. And this little daughter is talking to the fire and to the wind. And she's saying to the fire, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will not come near this house. Turn away from this house, we will be safe. That was her words. And the mom said, standing inside, all these fires, that little daughter standing outside on the lawn, talking to the wind and to the fire. She said, when she started to talk, it's like that fire stood up like a hurricane coming for their daughter. But the moment she spoke that word, it's like the wind turned around and the fire went back away from the house. And if today you go into Nysna, I don't have to give you the address. If you go to Nysna and you want to know, okay, so where do they stay? It's the house, the only house still standing, where all the other houses all around that house is burned down, nothing left. Little daughter, little girl, talking to the fire and to the wind. Because you see, the Holy Spirit inside of a little child is no smaller than in me or in you. There's no difference between the Holy Spirit in that child and the Holy Spirit inside me or you, or than the Holy Spirit inside of Elijah or Joshua. It's the same Holy Spirit. But creation is waiting to respond on the words of God spoken by His sons. And to finish off this morning, I want to read the lyrics of a song. Ronaldo, you can come to the front, please. This song is written by Jason Upton. Now, Jason Upton is, if I may say, he's a very prophetic singer. Just one or two of his testimonies, maybe. A lot of his songs, he'll just sing the words, and they normally, when for the CDs and stuff, they record it live, because it's not necessarily stuff that he said somewhere and he write down. A lot of the words come as they worship together, basically. One of the songs that I've heard the words of, I think I've got it in one of my CDs, one of the songs, he's actually speaking against the winds in that song. Now, what he didn't know, only afterwards they found out about it, is while they were, it's in America, while they were together, worshiping together there, there was a tornado coming straight to the place where they were at. And in his song, he prophesied against this wind to turn around. So afterwards, they could see the path of this tornado coming all the way to where they were and then turned away, moved away. Another song that he wrote, the song's name is Fly. Now, they performed it somewhere, sang the song somewhere, and afterwards a little boy came to him and said to him, "Sir, but while you were singing, there was this big angel standing behind you." And he told Jason how big this angel was, and it's not like human size, it's a big angel. And this angel was singing with. And Jason probably said to the guy, "Well, Chad, great, thanks for that kind of thing." But afterwards in the studio, they were editing the songs and working on the songs and to get ready for the CD. And one of the guys doing the editing came to them and said to them, "Listen, but there's something funny on the CD." He said, "And we try and figure it out because there's an extra sound on the CD, on the song that's not supposed to be there." So we cleared out, I don't know how they do that, but we took away all the other sounds. And there's someone else singing on the CD. And we try and figure out, but where did it come from? And it was standing right behind you at this height. That's where it came from. Angels coming, singing with him while he's singing. Now, it's not about Jason Upton. It's about God. But he understands that when he sing, that he prophesy over people, that he prophesy over creation. So the faith that's necessary is there. And creation responds on that. So what I want to do is, I'm going to spare you this. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it to you. But what I want to ask you to do this morning is to close your eyes. And as I just read these words of this song of him, receive it. But don't receive it only with your ears to hear it. Receive it in your spirit. be encouraged by it, and allow God to stir your faith by letting these words come over your soul, come over your spirit. The name of the song is Sons and Daughters. He's starting off by asking the question, do you know you're a word from heaven? Do you know you're a child of God? Do you know? Do you really know? Every word sent down from heaven won't go back until it succeeded in what He sent it to do. Do you know you're a word from heaven? Do you know you're a child of God? Do you know? Do you really know? Sons and daughters of the living God, do you know? All of heaven is waiting. All creation is groaning, crying out. All of heaven is waiting. Creation is groaning with eager expectation. Sons and daughters of the living God, do you know you're a word from heaven? Do you know you're a child of God? It is time. In the midst of the warfare, in the midst of the anger, in the midst of brother against brother, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons and daughters of the living God. Sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you, Father, that this morning we can sit here and stand here in your presence. Thank you, Father, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. But also, Father, we are your spoken word. Lord, you spoke us into being. And the thing that makes us different from the rest of creation is, Father, with us, your breath has come into us. You have breathed into us your breath, so that you can dwell inside of us. Father, thank you that we can know we are sons and daughters of you, of the Most High God. But Father, let us understand that when we talk is not cheap. Because Father, every word we speak is like it's spoken from you. And that words wait to come to fulfillment. Just like you are waiting, Father, for us to come to fulfillment, to what you called us to be. Thank you, Father, for your word. And thank you, Father, for your Son. And Father, I just want to bless every person sitting in this place this morning. I want to ask you, Father, that as we leave this building, that we will go out as your word, speaking things into being. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.